good evening. Good to see everybody tonight that's here in person. Glad to have you there with us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, any of those platforms there. Welcome to those who are on the phone live streaming. If you need that number, we'll be glad to give you that number. You can call us. You can leave a comment there on Facebook, and we'll be sure to get that number to you. Be sure to comment there on Facebook and all those other platforms. Let others know that you're there. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on Facebook. All those things help to get you that automatic notification when we go live, as well as when you comment, that helps to spread the word out even further. So thank you for being there with us tonight. Again, if we'll get to the prayer list part, but Facebook is where on Wednesday nights that we ask you to comment any prayer requests there so that we can share those with you. Want to encourage you to go to our website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin. Those are in the windowsills and at the doors as you came in tonight. The children's worship bulletins are over to my right. You can also download these or send these links to anybody from our church website there. It's a great resource we have for outreach there. And then also under that info tab is the prayer list that you can download from home. If you need those in person, they're on the sides of the stage. If anybody comes in late, make sure, if you will, that they get one of those. Also want to remind you, while you're on the church website there, you can do your online giving. Go to the far right hand side, click the Give Online tab. You can do your regular online giving. You can do your online giving for the North American Missions offering, the Anne Armstrong Easter offering. You can do all of that right there. So I encourage you to take the time to do that. We're almost at our goal. I don't know if they've counted this week yet or not to know what the final total is yet, but we're getting closer. So. Okay, I know it was at 61, and our goal was 7, so I want to encourage you to be praying about giving towards that. Then also don't forget the Hoosier One. If you've not done that or you want to still do that, those are down here in front of the pulpit. If you're at home and you want to do this, encourage you to take the time to send us a message. We'll send you one of these little bookmarks. On the blue part is where you write on the back there the individual's name that you want us to pray for, and then we'll print one that's white with that person's name on the other side to give to other individuals to pray for. And then, as you see there on your screen, we have our 30-day prayer guide, as well as that bookmark has that 30-day study through the scriptures there for you to use. Also want to continue to remind you to use the Bible app. It's a great resource that we have there for our church to be able to use. You can scan this QR code that you see on the screens, or you can just download the Bible app. If you download the Bible app, then you want to go to the Discover button that's on it. And when you do that, search for our church. We're one of a few churches in our area, so it won't be hard to find us. And then tap Set as My Church. When you tap Set as My Church, it'll bring up our church page. And then you'll see the Bible reading plan that we're emphasizing right now. It's a 21-day study through the book of Ephesians. And that'll be up through probably the end of May. And then we'll put up another one. Maybe middle part of May, we may put up another one that we'll still do with Ephesians. Because we'll be in Ephesians for a little bit here. And so let me encourage you to take the time to use that. A few other quick announcements. Some of these are in your bulletins, but especially for those people who may be at home tonight, we've got our barbecue fundraiser coming up this Sunday. So make plans for that. I want to encourage you to come for that. That's going to be right after the services. There's going to be pulled pork or chicken. You'll have your choice there. Sandwiches. I love the chicken. It's really good. Potato salad. Baked beans and a dessert of your choice, and then it's just a donation to help with the youth going to their camp. And so I want to encourage you to come and support that Sunday morning right after our worship services. And then we also next Tuesday, isn't that right, will be Prime Timers. And so next Tuesday is going to be, well, maybe that's not next Tuesday, maybe it's two Tuesdays. Yeah, it's two Tuesdays. That's actually a couple of weeks coming up. So 2 weeks from yesterday We'll have prime timers. It is going to be catered from El Costal, so it'll be Mexican. So I want to encourage you to make plans to come for that. The sign-up sheet is on the board out here in the hallway, so be sure to sign up for that. And then there is an announcement that's in the bulletins, but also we wanted to share with you tonight about VBS. We are still in need of some volunteers for the kickoff. The kickoff will be on Saturday, June the 1st. And so if you can come and help us that day, just manning some inflatables or walking around to make sure help with food or talking to parents, talking to people. There's all kinds of opportunities for you to be involved in to volunteer. We will be pre-registering people, so if you want to help with that in a sit-down job, that's a sit-down job that you can help with. We are also looking for donations of candy, no chocolate, and some small toys for Vacation Bible School also. So wanted to remind you that Bible School starts June 3rd through the 7th, and it'll be from 6 to 8:30. We'll be sending some information out and giving you some information that you can share with your friends and their kids to invite them to Vacation Bible School. Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us in our hymn portion.
It's one that we don't sing a lot, but we've chosen this one maybe to see how well it goes with the message that Brother Jim brings later on. So, "Oh Jesus, I have promised," 276.
Song. And hopefully you knew that at home also. I did fail to mention that announcement that you see on the screen there. I've even got a picture of all my announcements, and that one was on there, and I overlooked it there. What I wanted to share with you about our Facebook group that we just started this week is we want to be able to share things that are happening internally within the church that we just don't want out there on the World Wide Web that they wouldn't be interested in anyway, such as what we just announced, that we need volunteers for Vacation Bible School. That wouldn't be an announcement that we want to make to the general public. That's what we would do. We would do other things like advertise the Vacation Bible School itself on our Facebook page. And so you may have or may not have received an invitation to be a part of that Facebook group. If you haven't, send us a message on Messenger, and we'll make sure to get you in that. It only gave us so many that we could look through to send out invites to. So that's why we have this on the screen. It has a QR code there. You can hold your phone up and scan that QR code there. That QR code will be in our bulletin this coming Sunday also, so that you can be able to scan it there. And that way it'll take you right to that Facebook group. You just ask to be a part of the group, and we'll make you a part of the group. It's really just for our members and attenders, so that you can get some other ways of getting some other information that some of it's already in the bulletin, those kind of things, but things that we may not necessarily want to share on our general Facebook page. We have about almost 1,000 on our Facebook page, and only about 100 of those are directly from our church. So there's a lot of people out there that have come to our Facebook page through all the different events that we've done over the last several years. So that's why we have this Facebook group. Some had wondered if that was a legitimate thing. It is. And so just wanted to make you aware of that. You don't have to be a part of it to get those announcements. It'll be the same kind of announcements that you'll see before services, you saw before the services tonight that are scrolling on the screen. You can see those same announcements in your bulletins. But it's just a reminder to you. Some of those announcements will be things that were in your newsletter that you may forget, like whose turn is it to be greeters, Samantha? Or, just kidding. or who's deacon of the week, those kind of things, or deacon on deck, who's security, those kind of things. And that's not necessarily something to announce to the public. That's what we want to remind you of as the church. So just wanted to make sure you understood why we are doing this particular Facebook group. It is a private group, so that it's not just open for anybody out there to just become a part of. You do have to send that request or scan that QR code to become a part, and that'll only be through people here, whether you're a member or an attender. All right, so let me pull out my prayer list here. Hopefully you've had a chance at home to get that downloaded. And hopefully you've got one here in person. We're going to go ahead and go through our entire list tonight to kind of clean up list and also get any updates that you may have on individuals. I'm going to take a moment to skip over to Facebook so that I can see. If you make any comments there on our Facebook page to be able to share those requests. All right. Yes, I think I have that down. All right. On our Highland Baptist Church family side, and stop me if you have any updates on any, or you have, as we get through each section, maybe that you want to add to the prayer list. So we have Carolyn and S.W. Stone, Vicki Boswell, Mike Durham, Arthur Hargrove. It was great to see Arthur here for our Widows and Friends banquet that we had a couple of weekends ago. He was really in good spirits there. Miss Betsy Farrell, George Duncan. I got to talk to George today. He had been in the hospital about 3 weeks ago, he said. He had he regularly has had to go to for the tumors that he's had in his bladder, and so he had gone for that, but he had also just been a couple of days after that was just so exhausted, they took him back to the hospital, and he had had a lot of fluid that had built up. So they've changed some of his medicines and all, got the fluid off of him. He is back at home, but one of the tumor that they went to remove, they did find out it is cancerous. And this one, unlike the others, is embedded somewhat in the muscle tissue, so they are going to have to remove his bladder. He'll go the end of this month for a consult with the doctors up in, I believe it was Nashville or Murfreesboro, one of the two, and then he will, they'll schedule when they're going to do that particular surgery to finish removing everything. They went ahead and removed the tumor, but they still need to get all that muscle tissue out of there. And so he is on a new medicine, and he's only been on it for a couple of days, so pray that that goes well. You have this balancing act, you know, that you don't want to get dehydrated, and you also don't want to have too much fluid. And so he's monitoring his intake and his output and all that thing. So just keep George in your prayers in good spirits. You know, George, he's always, it's a wonderful day, a great day in paradise, and that's George. And so it was a good conversation and time of prayer that I had with him today. I want to remember Leona Ross in your prayers, Mark Raymond, Sandra Wells. Sandra's here with us on social media there on Facebook. Remember Jewel Farrell, Bill Warren, Rick German, Brian Tate, Wade Hall, Jack Doubt. You've got something coming up. Yeah, so next Wednesday he has a complete knee replacement, and so want to keep him in your prayers. He says he's doing okay tonight, but ask him next week and it'll be maybe be a different story. So keep him in your prayers as he has that procedure done next Wednesday. Jimmy Marlowe, Jerry Darden, he's been at home recovering from his heart issues. Brittany Howell, her father passed away, Andrew Mixer. He and her stepmom lived down close to Dallas area. They were in Jamaica when all of this happened. He's 55, and they assumed that he had a heart attack, but there's a whole long procedure of things that have had to go on. That's been the biggest stressful thing. They have to do an autopsy there, get his body released. When he comes here, they have to do another autopsy here. And so it's probably going to be till the end of the month before they're able to do any kind of memorial service for him. And she's not sure yet if that was going to be in Texas or back in Arizona. But do keep her and her family in your prayers with the passing of her father, Andrew Mixer. And then Miss Linda Jones, we didn't know this till Sunday. She had been in the hospital. And so keep her in your prayers. She's doing pretty well, she said, since that procedure. Yes, with her high blood pressure. They had changed her medicines and bottomed out there. So just keep her in your prayers that everything's going well with the new medication that she's on. Any other Highland Baptist Church family that we need to add? Anybody else you know of that's got any upcoming procedures? All right, on our friends and family side, we've got the people of Ukraine, the Calgary Mission Partnership, Katie Jo Bailey, Sarah Jernigan, Buddy Saunders, Mamie Thompson, Tracy Strobe, Ryan Bond. Amy was telling me last week, I believe it was, that his situation, they've just given him a matter of time. So he's trying to make the best of the time that he has, 6 months to 2 years, they said, to spend with family. I think he is moving to Texas to be closer with some family there, but we'll be coming back here ever so often. So keep Ryan in your prayers. Rhonda Morris, Yvonne Ortiz, Kim Tucker, Wilbur Warren, Charles Miller, Linda Ray. Okay, so with Linda Ray, they still can't get her blood pressure stabilized, so just keep praying for her that they'll figure that out, but pray that God's hand will be upon her. Laura Hendricks is doing really well, and so we'll probably remove her from the list there from her treatments and everything, so just you may want to keep her in your hearts in a prayer there, but we'll be removing her from the list as a talked with Becky several times, and she said she's doing really well. We've got Andy Taylor, who is Nancy Ritchie's brother. Kay Goff is a friend of ours that her husband passed away a few weeks ago in North Carolina. Joanne Woodson. Okay, so she's started her treatments last week and last Wednesday, and she's got quite a few of those that she'll have to do with the proton therapy there. So keep her in your prayers that everything will continue going well with those. We've got Madison Barnett, Angela Wallace, Elise Flynn, Val Kohler, and Robert Kohler, Jay Barbier, Tim Forsyth, Corin, and then also the Ray family. This is one that Matt had asked us to add. It's part of his family. There are several issues that's going on with mother and son and daughter-in-law, or vice versa. I forget which way that goes. But there's quite a few issues that are going on there with both, with that whole family. So he asked if we would just add the Ray family to our prayers as part of his family. Any other friends and family that we need to add? All right, and that's we were just hearing this report about Doug Ray, Linda Ray's husband, had a procedure or had a test done, would you say? Yeah, he had had bladder cancer before, but got a great report last week, so we praise the Lord for that. We've had him on our prayer list before. All right, any others there? Let's go to the nursing home list. We have Mary Campbell, who's at NHC, Peggy Eggleston at Life Care, Miss Bertie Davis, who's at Brookdale, and Miss Donna was telling us this evening here that she was not doing well, so want to keep her in your prayers. She had had COVID, I think, recently too, but she didn't look very well today, and so just keep her in your prayers. We've got Floyd Prince and Sue Prince, who are at Morning Point. Miss Beverly Daniels, unless she's gotten back to Morning Point, she's still at Manchester Rehab. Miss Susie Barton is at Morning Point also. And then Hoyt Farrell is at Legacy Nursing Home, and Christine Cranford at NHC. And Janet Carter, sorry, I skipped over that one. I was looked at Miss Bertie Davis. Miss Janet Carter, who's at MacArthur Manor, and she's probably listening to us on the phone. So. Any others? All right, if you're at home and you have any there, be sure to make the comment there on Facebook. If we have any of those at the end of the service, we'll mention those at the end of the service, even if we don't get to it right this moment. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, uplifting all these prayer requests. And thank you so much for bearing with us as we went through the whole list there and sharing the updates that you've shared. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your grace and your mercy and your loving kindness. Lord, we thank you that you are an awesome God who loves us, who cares for us, who sustains us, who has sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Lord, you are a holy and a righteous God. And when we come into your presence, we recognize our unholiness. We recognize our sinfulness. Lord, so often when we compare ourselves to others, we tend to make ourselves look better. But Lord, when we step into your presence, even in prayer right now, we are humbled in our hearts, Lord. We are humbled because of our sinfulness and because of your great majesty and your awesomeness and your righteousness before us. And so we come, Lord, and confess any ungodly thoughts, any ungodly actions that we've committed, anything, Lord, that we have not done that you commanded us to do. Maybe there were opportunities that you brought across our path and we knew we were supposed to share with that individual and we didn't. Or some other thing that maybe you've commanded us to do in your word that we have not done. Lord, whatever might be sin in our hearts, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us, Cleanse us, wash us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Renew us in our hearts, fill us with your Spirit, empower us, Lord, and give us the strength to press forward one moment at a time, one day at a time. Lord, cleanse by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, knowing that our forgiveness of our sins, our salvation, is not a work of our own. Lord, it is by grace that we've been saved. It is, Lord, the mercy of you looking towards us and not giving us what we do deserve. And so, Father, I pray that you would cleanse us, and set us on a path of righteousness, Lord, to be an example and a witness and a testimony to the lost and dying world around us, Lord, that you can be forgiven of your sins. And Father, I pray that you would use our lives as a witness to others. Father, help us to be faithful to share when those opportunities come across our path, even just to just start gospel conversations by asking those kinds of questions like, how can I pray for you? Or just to begin that talk with an individual so that we might see those opportunities that you might lead to further conversations and deeper matters to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who are lost. So, Father, we pray for tonight as we come before you in prayer. We want to pray for all these names that are represented on this cross with the blue papers, Lord, and the white cards that we're praying for of individuals who've given us those names. Father, we just want to pray and ask that you would have your hand upon those individuals, bring people across their path. Use us, Lord, as we've maybe given a friend's name down, that as we talk to that friend, or maybe we are there to interact with them personally, maybe it's someone at work, maybe it's someone in our family, maybe it's just that we would be able to write a card to this individual who may be miles away from us, just to let them know, Lord, that we love them, we're praying for them, and that you love them. And Father, I pray that you would use that as an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel with them. Lord, I pray that you will open up more and more gospel conversations with those individuals, and just fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to speak everything you would have us to say and to do everything you would have us to do when those opportunities come, because we don't know when that last opportunity might be, that we go on to be with you in glory, or those individuals pass away and spend an eternity without Christ in their lives, separated from you in hell. And so, Father, I pray that you would just send your Holy Spirit to their hearts, that when we have those conversations, when we have those times of prayer with them, Lord, that you would stir their hearts to want more, to want to know Christ in their hearts and in their lives. And Lord, even if we mess up everything that we say to them, help them, Lord, to hear the things that they need to hear. Help them to respond by faith, to trust in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And we just pray and expectantly look forward to the great and mighty things you're going to do in bringing people to faith in Christ in the days ahead. Lord, we pray for each one of these that we mentioned tonight on our prayer list. Some of these, Lord, also may not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so we pray that if that's their situation in life, Lord, whatever they're going through physically, along with all the other things that come along with that, use that, Lord, to bring them to that place where there's no other place for them to turn but to Christ. Father, I pray that you will bring us across their paths and other Christians who would be a witness into their lives. And Father, I pray that you would use this as an opportunity of a gospel time of sharing the gospel in their lives. Father, I pray for those who are Christians too, Lord, that you would just strengthen them. Send your Holy Spirit to encourage them and to fill them with your presence, to let them know that you care for them and that you love them and that you're providing for them. And Father, we just pray that those who are going through surgeries, those who have upcoming surgeries, Lord, we just pray that you would lead and guide the doctors and those medical caregivers who will be doing those things, surgeons and such. Lord, we pray that you'll have your hand upon them to lead them, to guide them, give them the wisdom and understanding that they need to take care of those individuals. Lord, we thank you for that blessing that you've given to those individuals. But Lord, we know that you are the great physician. And so we just pray, God, for you to divinely intervene in these individuals' lives, Lord, to bring the healing that they need. And Father, I pray that we would be able to testify of your great and mighty works in their lives, to use it, Lord, to share with others, to encourage believers, and also to use it to bring lost people to faith in Christ. Lord, we pray for our Awana kids, especially as we're off for the summer months, as school is coming to an end. Father, I pray that you will just continue to let that word that they have memorized and learned throughout this past year be that lamp unto their feet and light unto their path. Lord, guide them as they finish up school for this semester, and then the things they'll be doing with their families. Watch over them, protect them, bring them back this fall as we start again with the Awana program there. And Lord, just lay a special blessing upon all of our teachers and our workers who provided and helped through that ministry. Father, we just pray that you'll give them a time of refreshing, a time, Lord, of just being rejuvenated in their hearts and in their minds, a time, Lord, that you will renew the passion that you've given to them to reach out and to minister to these kids and their families. And Father, we just pray that they will come back ready to start again with the Awana program this fall. Until then, Lord, we know we have our Vacation Bible School coming up, and so we uplift Vacation Bible School to you. Lord, we ask that you'll prepare the hearts of the kids that'll be here for that, that they will continue, Lord, to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And Lord, there would be many people saved through that wonderful ministry also. Lord, we pray that you'd be with our youth who are meeting here tonight still, and will be throughout the summer. Father, we just pray that you will be with Pastor Matt and other leaders who are helping there. Father, give those students a hunger and a thirst for you. Lord, we pray that you would raise up a mighty strong generation, Lord, that would love you and follow after you and have a desire to know you more fully in their lives. And Father, we just pray a special blessing upon them tonight. Send your Holy Spirit as they're studying your word to speak to their hearts. And Lord, we pray tonight as we come to study your word once again in the book of Isaiah. I pray that it will be powerful, it'll be relevant to our lives, that you'll use it to do whatever needs to be done in our hearts. Lord, there may be mostly Christians who are here and watching online, listening to this message. I pray that you will help us, Lord, to heed the warnings that we're going to see here in Isaiah chapter 3. Father, I pray for those who will hear this message who don't know Christ, that they would see the urgency to make sure that they get their hearts right with you before it's too late, before the judgment comes. And so, Father, we just ask your blessings tonight. We ask for your will to be done, your name to be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right, well, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Isaiah. That's one of those books that's almost there in the middle. Guys, so if you come to Psalms, you're just going to turn over a few books and you'll be in the book of Isaiah. And you may be thinking, as you're looking at the title of the message there on your screen at home or here in person, preacher, that's an unusual title. We're losing ground. I mean, we're supposed to be encouraged. We're supposed to be, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be fine. Well, we're going to see tonight in chapter 3 that God lays out the truth here for the nation of Israel, to put things very plain and very blunt for where they are, what's about to happen, the judgment that's about to come on them. They were losing ground in their lives. And we see, as we look around us today in the news, it seems as if we are losing ground ourselves. It seems like there's more wickedness on every hand. It seems like people don't want to hear what is the truth of God's word. People don't want to trust in Jesus or even hear about Jesus. And so we are, in many ways, losing ground. But I want to tell you, as we're going to come to understand through this passage also, is that though we may be losing ground in some ways, ultimately, through the end, God doesn't lose the ground. He is victorious in the end. So we're going to begin here in chapter 3 and verse 1 in just a moment. But I just wanted to give you this illustration to kind of lay the groundwork for what Isaiah, the message that God is bringing through Isaiah to the people, and this foundational message that he gives to them. This first section of Isaiah really truly is laying a foundation for all the rest of the messages that Isaiah is going to bring to the people in the book of Isaiah. And this is a very important message to laying that foundation. You know, this illustration that I came across was that, you know, in the aftermath of the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center in 2001, seems like, wow, 2001, that's 23 years ago coming up this September the 11th. What a tragedy that was. When they were cleaning up, this huge pile of debris was left there on Ground Zero. There was twisted steel girders, there was rubble, there was all kinds of other wreckage, and it continued to smolder, if you remember, for 5 months after the attack. On May the 30th, 2002, there was a significant ceremony because the last piece of steel from the World Trade Center was removed from that site to be recycled as the bow of a new assault ship called the USS New York. Here's what I want to say about that. Without the clearing of all the debris, the new Freedom Tower, which is 1,776 feet high, could never have been built. Spiritually speaking, God's ultimate building site is the hearts of men and women and the eternal city, the New Jerusalem, a combination of spiritual dwelling place and literal city. And the rubble is the residue of our sinfulness, of human arrogance and sin that needs to be cleared, or the eternal structure can't be built. So in other words, our hearts have to be cleansed, have to be clean before he can make us into what he wants us to be, and before the New Jerusalem can be established. So there's going to be a couple of things he's going to be talking about here. He's going to be talking about something that's happening immediately in the lives of Israel, but then also that foretelling of yet what is to come with the New Jerusalem. So the history of the actual city of Jerusalem is a spiritual picture of God's spiritual building project in his people. So in our passage here in Isaiah chapter 3, we're going to see the destruction of Jerusalem because of sin, but its destruction is with a redemptive purpose. So it's not just destruction for destruction's sake. It's not just, I'm going to whip you because I'm mad at you out of anger. There's a purpose and a reason for what God is doing in bringing the judgment and the discipline upon Jerusalem, upon the people of Israel, so that the new Jerusalem can be built. And so God clears, as we're going to see, the wreckage of the people's sins so that he can build, if you will, this perfect Zion in its place. And so this is a passage that speaks a word of warning, even to our own time, a word of repentance and prayer, not presumption, to present-day Christians. So notice, as we're going to see here, notice the bookends, if you will, of grace that surround God's severe judgment here in chapter 3. If you go back to chapter 2 that we looked at last week, or the week before, and then you look at what we're going to be looking at next time in chapter 4, it contains in those two chapters some of the sweetest and clearest prophecies about the future glory of Christ's kingdom. And they stand, if you will, like bookends around the smoldering words of judgment in chapter 3. And so bookend number 1 is Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 4, where he talks about the mountain of the Lord's temple will be exalted, that nations are going to be streaming to it. And he's talking about what's going to be happening out there in the future and how wonderful that's going to be. And then the other bookend is Isaiah chapter 4, which we're going to find out talks about the branch of the Lord, which is fruitful, and Mount Zion that is cleansed and protected by this canopy of God's glory. But between those two bookends, between chapter 2 and chapter 4, we have this picture here in Isaiah 3 of the burning of destruction with descriptions of this terrible judgment on Judah and Jerusalem. It's as if the building site is being scraped, is being all the rubble's being removed for a future wonderful building. And so what we see over and over in these verses is that they were losing ground, and so are we. I want you to see what they were losing. Notice first there, the loss of stability. Look at verse 1 down through verse 3 to begin with. So he says here in this message of judgment, "For behold," that means pay attention, listen up. I've got something important to say. "For behold, the Lord God of hosts is taking away from Jerusalem and from Judah support and supply, all support of bread and all support of water. The mighty man and the soldier, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the man of rank, the counselor and the skillful magician and the expert in charms." What is he saying in those first three verses? What he's saying there is, just like with any building, society itself depends on structural pillars to hold it up. I mean, you think about architects and builders, they know just how to how significant that a load-bearing pillar or a load-bearing wall can be, or a beam, how important it is. But if it cracks, then the building begins to crumble. And in a similar way, all of human society is built on some key social pillars. Supplies of basic commodities and key individuals whose skills are vital to the smooth functioning, if you will, of a community. Those pillars of society are, if you will, gifts from God. And in this chapter, God is threatening, "I'm going to take all of that away. Everything that holds you up, everything that supports you to be able to even live in this city, it's all going to be gone." He says, "I'm going to get rid of the food. I'm going to get rid of the water." All those structural supports of Jerusalem and Judah are going to that are causing a collapse already. He says, "I'm going to get rid of all that." So he threatens the supply of food and water to the city, ultimately by the invading Gentile armies, by the Assyrians and the Babylonians who are going to come. And what they do and the defeats upon God's people that they have are going to put an end to the farming. It's going to put an end to the flow of water. And so God threatens to remove all that. He also threatens to remove the key men whose leadership is vital to that smooth function of society. I mean, think about what he says here that he's going to remove. He says he's going to remove the mighty men. He's going to remove the soldiers. He's going to remove the judge. So there's not going to be any justice anymore. Nobody's going to be able to go take a matter before a judge, because he's going to remove all the judges. He's going to remove all the prophets, the ones who would come and share the word of God. He says there's not going to be even a prophet. The diviner, the elders, the captain of 50, the man of rank, the counselor. You're going to want a counselor during that time. They're not going to be found. They're going to be gone. And the skillful magician and expert in charms. All of these are going to be taken away. Start with those good political leaders, the godly kings, the ministers whose wise rule provides stability for the nation. If you don't have those structural supports in a nation, you have chaos. You have chaos. We already see some of that in events that are happening around us, because you see some of those structural parts of our society that are cracking and that are crumbling around us. And so it's just like Proverbs 29 verse 14 says, "If a king faithfully judges the poor, his throne will be established forever." And so it provides stability when you have people in leadership positions who are doing wise things. But Isaiah chapter 3 pictures the total vacuum of leadership, which leads to anarchy, which leads to instability. Furthermore, he says, all the military heroes are gone. So you got all this anarchy and things that are going on, but he says you're not even going to be able to turn to the military to come in to help settle the situation. They aren't going to be there. He says there's not going to be any of these military heroes, those warriors who would rally the troops to make heroic stands against the enemy. The courageous men, they're all going to be dead. The men who are left, they're going to be stripped of any courage. They're going to flee for their lives. And beyond these, the removal of the pillars of society goes to every level. The judges, the prophets, the elders, the lower level commanders, the counselors, the skilled craftsmen. He even says even the magicians, the cunning magicians and the fortune tellers, they're all gone. All of the old order is being removed, and the remaining flimsy structure is wobbling and it's ready to collapse. So that result of the resulting vacuum of leadership is devastating. And the anarchy is a direct judgment from God. So notice his ordinary pattern of leadership is qualified men and women. He raises them up, seasons them, trains them, prepares them to bear the burden of leadership. From the moment God created Adam alone for a time, before he was without Eve, God was establishing men to lead in the home and in society. In the whole Bible, Deborah is one of the few examples of a godly woman established as a leader over men in the book of Judges. And that era was a strange one in redemptive history, because we know that Israel had no king at that time, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes in the book of Judges. But in Isaiah's prophecy concerning Judah and Jerusalem, all the qualified men are dead. They've all been removed. All that's been left are women and children, and weak, unqualified men. Notice verse 4 and verse 5. And I will make boys their princes, and infants shall rule over them. How's that going to work? Boys are going to be princes who are having to make governmental decisions. Infants are going to rule over them. The people, he says, will oppress one another. Everyone his fellow and everyone his neighbor. The youth will be insolent to the elder. We see a lot of that today. And the despised to the honorable. So notice, these unseasoned boys become rulers. And then in verse 6 through verse 7, we have a shameful picture in which one of the few remaining men is forced into leadership simply because he still has a cloak. He still has an outer garment, still has a coat, if you will, to put over him. Notice what verse 6 says. For a man will take hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, you have a cloak. You shall be our leader. It'd be like coming in here and saying, preacher, you got a coat, so we're going to make you the leader of the country. I'm not qualified to lead the country. That's what it's saying here. We're gonna find this brother here in the house. You've got a cloak. You'll be our leader. And this heap of ruins shall be under your rule. I'm thinking, I don't want anything to do with this heap of ruins. In that day, verse 7 says, he will speak out saying, I will not be a healer in my house. There is neither bread nor cloak. You shall not make me leader of the people. So this weak man, he refuses to take the role of the ruler of this heap of rubble. He has no answer for the disease of his people. In fact, what we're going to find out in verse 12 is that the women will be ruling over the men. And in that culture, especially in that day, that was a shameful thing, that there weren't any men to stand up, that the women had to do it. Does that sound like today some too? Women in the church do a whole lot sometimes more than the men do. We need a generation of young men to rise up to be godly men. So notice, it was for them, it was a shameful judgment from God. And the root cause of that judgment is the sweeping wickedness of the people. So look at verse 8 down through verse 11, because it makes it plain and clear here that the evil of their hearts is pouring out into open patterns of wickedness, just like what was going on in Sodom. So let's read verse 8 through verse 11. For Jerusalem has stumbled, and Judah has fallen, because their speech and their deeds are against the Lord, defying his glorious presence. For the look on their faces bears witness against them. They proclaim their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. What's he talking about there? He's talking about homosexuality and that kind of sin that was going on there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, they talk about their sin. They talk about it. It's out there. They have no shame about it. Does that not sound like today? They don't hide it. Woe to them, he says, for they have brought evil on themselves. Tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. But woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for what his hands have dealt out shall be done to him. That kind of sounds to me like the New Testament that says you reap what you sow. So when you look at these verses, amazingly here, verse 9 is implying that they're openly parading their sin. They're openly flaunting their sin. And the final stage is rebellion, because the people no longer feel the need to hide their sin, but they're actually proud of it and boast over it. And society has reached its lowest. All too often, we don't learn from history. We need to learn from history, because as we're going to see here, he's speaking to the people of God. He's not talking about the Gentiles out there. He's not talking about the lost world out there. He's talking about people who are part of his promise. Like we would say today of the church. It's verse 13. Actually, we'll pick up with verse 12 and then go into verse 13. Verse 12, he says, my people, infants are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, your guides mislead you, and they have swallowed up the course of your paths. The Lord has taken his place to contend. He stands to judge peoples. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders and princes of his people. It is you who have devoured the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people, by grinding the face of the poor, declares the Lord God of hosts. And so in those verses, in verse 12 through verse 15 there, he's singling out the corruption of the leaders that led to this judgment. They had used their positions and their power to steal from the poor. And he says, it's like you're taking their head and you're just grinding it into the dirt. You're just smashing it in. You're not happy enough to take their spoils. You want them to suffer. And so you're pushing their face down in the dirt, grinding their faces in the dust. And for all of this, God says, that's why I'm bringing judgment, severe judgment. But in the middle of this dire warning, God speaks a message of comfort to the righteous in verse 10. God is going to judge everyone according to their deeds, and he doesn't make any mistakes. But verse 10, he says, tell the righteous, it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. Romans chapter 2, verse 6 through verse 8 says this, he will render to each one according to his works, to those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. That's a New Testament passage speaking to us if we follow the same path that Israel and Judah was following, the loss of stability. Not only do we see the loss of the loss of stability there, we see the loss of their unstable, luxurious boastfulness. So get the picture here. God has blessed them. You know, sometimes our blessings are like a curse. We're wealthy in this nation, and for many, that has led them away from the Lord, because they're trusting in things of this world rather than trusting in God. And so Isaiah gets very specific in verse 16 down through verse 24. So verse 16, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, so remember the women are in leadership now, and he says they're just as bad as the guys were. They were haughty, they were prideful, and they walk with outstretched necks. And they're glancing wantonly with their eyes, mincing along as they go, tinkling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scab the heads of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will lay bare their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery of the anklets, the headbands and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets and the scarves, the headdresses, the armlets and the sashes, the perfume boxes and the amulets, the signet rings and nose rings, the festal robes, the mantles, the cloaks and the handbags, the mirrors, the linen garments, the turbans and the veils. Instead of perfume, there will be rottenness. And instead of a belt, a rope. Instead of a well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a rich robe, a skirt of sackcloth, and branding instead of beauty. And so he says, all of this is because of their arrogant, selfish, luxury lifestyle. They focused on the material things rather than the eternal things. So in this chapter in which the stealing from the poor is exposed and judged, you've got this long list of luxury items from which the women of Judah made themselves and had themselves to make themselves look beautiful. You know, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3 through verse 5 makes it plain that a godly woman's beauty doesn't come from all of those outward adornments, but the godliness and submissiveness of her heart. It says in those verses, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. That was the picture that God says that's what's more important than all the outward things that you could put on. But he says these women here in Judah and Israel, they're like the pig that has a ring in its snout. Like Proverbs 11:22 that says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. She can be as beautiful as she wants to on the outside, but if the heart is not where it needs to be, all that beauty doesn't matter. The only beauty they possess is a lie, an outward disguise of the inner corruption of sin in their hearts. And so when the judgment falls, all those outward extravagances are going to be snatched away by their conquerors. When Assyria comes and Babylon comes, they're going to take all that away, and none of that's going to matter anymore. And instead of soft garments, instead of luxurious accessories, he says they're going to wear sackcloth, bound with a rope instead of a belt. And instead of smelling lovely with perfume, he says they're going to stink. And in the end, their physical condition is going to match the ugliness of the heart. These women of Zion have lost their men in battle, and now they themselves stand exposed with no shelter. Look at verse 25 down through verse 26. He says, your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty men in battle. And her gates shall lament and mourn, empty and empty she shall sit on the ground. Their shame becomes complete when you look over one more verse into chapter 4 and verse 1. And it says, and seven women shall take hold of one man in that day, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own clothes, only let us be called by your name. Take away our reproach. Seven of them pleading with one of the few men left for the mere honor of a marriage in name only. He wouldn't even have to provide food or clothing to them, they're saying. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. So how will God judge his people? Well, remember, he's going to take away everything they're trusting in, including food and water and leaders and soldiers and judges and prophets. That's what verse 1 through verse 15 was about. The entire support system of the nation is going to disintegrate. If we have a heart that rebels against God, that turns away from God, that turns to the material things, the support structures that should be there for our lives begin to crumble. And judgment will come. And God will take away all those things that we have been putting our significance in and finding our strength in. The entire support system of the nation is going to disintegrate. Nobody would want to hold office except the women and the children. And that would have been humiliating to the nation of that day. The national leaders in Isaiah's day, they were charting a course that was out of the will of God and would ultimately bring disaster. But there was a righteous remnant that would be protected. He denounced the men who had been in leadership. He zeroes in on those proud women who've profited from their husbands' crimes in verse 16 down through chapter 4, verse 1. It's almost like he and Amos were saying the same thing. In fact, Amos was a contemporary of his. The prophet Amos had a message for the women in the northern kingdom. In Amos chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 3, hear this word, you cows of Bashan. It's calling the women a bunch of cows. Don't go home and do that then. You got a house full of them there. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor and crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring what that we may drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness, Amos says, that behold, the days are coming upon you when they shall take you away with hooks, even the last of you with fish hooks. And then talking about like our little hooks that we go to fish for a little catfish or a bass with. He's talking about big old hooks. You're going to be taken out with fish hooks. You're going to go out through the breaches, each one straight ahead, and you shall be cast out into Harmon, declares the Lord. Everything was going to be different for these women when the judgment of God came to the land. In that day, nobody would notice all those expensive clothes, all those fine jewelry, all those perfumes, all the elaborate hairstyles. They would be prisoners of war, led by a rope like cattle going to the slaughter. So many men had already been killed. There wouldn't be enough husbands to go around. So what we realize here from this message for us is that God is a long-suffering God. That as he is watching this world and we see and we know the sin that's going on, we see people who are exploiting one another. We see how people selfishly ravage his creation. But understand this, God sees, and one day there's coming a day when unbelieving sinners will be punished. God's people who have turned their backs upon him will be punished. But those who have remained faithful to the Lord will share in the glories of his kingdom. The question for us after hearing the message of chapter 3 is this: are you ready? Are you ready? You know, we say, I'm ready for the Lord to come. But along with that comes the judgment. The judgment not only maybe to us if we've been disobedient in our sinfulness, but maybe to our friends, to our family members who we want to go to heaven with us. When we look around us, it seems like we're losing ground. Every day, we keep sliding further and further down the slippery slope. But there is hope. And the hope is this: to remain right with the Lord. No matter what the rest of the world does, you stay focused on the Lord. You draw near to the Lord, and you'll be a part of his eternal kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that even though we're losing ground around us, we see sinfulness raging around us everywhere. Father, I pray that you would renew us in our hearts. Give us courage, Lord, to know that if we remain faithful, if we keep shining the light of Christ, even in the midst of the darkest sinfulness around us, no matter what that may cost us, no matter what they may do to us, Lord, may we share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we lift people up in prayer. May we pray for the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts. Lord, I pray that you would burden us as believers to make an eternal difference while we still have an opportunity, knowing, Lord, that one day the judgment is coming. Help us, Lord, to make that eternal impact in our friends and in our families' lives. Help us, Lord, to make sure we're ready. So if there's someone who's not ready yet, Lord, they don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're surely not ready. And so, Father, I pray that you would help them to understand that you love them. I pray that they would hear that message that you've made a way for them to be right with you, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. If they would just trust in him and what he did on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, Lord, that they would believe in him as Lord and Savior, that they would be saved. And I pray they would do that. No matter what sinfulness they may be involved in, Lord, you can rescue them from that and make them right in Christ. So, Father, I pray that your will be done. May your will be done in their lives. May your will be done in the church. And may you be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining with us there online. Did any of you... Miss Elise Flynn gave us an update there and said thank you for praying for her. She's so grateful to know this, and so we praise the Lord for that. That's the only other one that I saw there. So thank you for commenting there in the comments. Thank you for being there with us. We look forward to seeing you this Sunday, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. Join us online if you can't be here in person, but we'd love to have you come and be with us in person. You have a blessed week and a safe week, and we'll see you this coming Sunday.